Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And as always, we're going to open up with prayer. Father, we just thank you for another Sunday morning, Lord God. We say like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, Father, we're excited about being here. We're excited about your Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is going to do today. His work is always fresh. His work is always new, and his work is always on time, Lord, yes, and to give us exactly what we need, Lord. We may have gone through different things throughout the week, Lord, but your Holy Spirit meets us where we are and ministers what we need, Lord God. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and move and not just hover, but infiltrate. Come down, Lord, Holy Ghost, and move by your power, move by your Spirit. Oh, through the Sunday school department, through the house of God, the preaching, the praise, the worship. Oh, Lord, all over, Lord God, Pueblo, move, oh, God. And we pray all over this nation, move, Lord God, and all over the world, move, Lord God, by your power, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are continuing on session 6, and we are in the lesson, what? Types of prayer. So we do why, we have done when, and now we're going to do when, and now we're doing what types of prayer. And last Sunday we talked about adoration, and we just spent that whole time just talking about why do we adore the Lord. We were talking about the different types of prayer that the acronym ACTS or ACTS stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Mm-hmm. And we're going through each of those types of prayers as we talk about praying when we go into prayer. And we talked about how you can flow from one type to the next type. You know, God is just asking for the sincere heart. Look, he is not asking for some structure or some order when you pray. He is just saying he just wants your heart to be sincere when you pray. Please feel free to get a handout. Hopefully there's some handouts. And there is a special handout for today that we, with a song on it. Yes, I need thee every hour. So please pick up a handout with the song words, I need thee every hour, and a handout if you don't have one already. So again, as we talk about the different types of prayer and flowing in and out of prayer, last week we talked about adoration, and it was so beautiful, just talking about why we adore God. And adoration doesn't have to do with asking for anything. You know, we got to get into that. I mean, I was glad when I finally understood that adoration just has to do with adoring God for who he is and what he has done. Not asking for anything. Yes, how he what he does. And, you know, just adoring him. As the song says, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore Christ the Lord. And we need to get into that. Just adoring. You know, don't you love when your children just want to hang out with you? You know, not because they want anything. You know, sometimes they do. But, you know, isn't it wonderful when people just want to be with you? Just because they want to be with you. And it's a form of adoration. They adore you and they just love your company. And that's what we say to God. We just want to adore you, Lord. I don't want anything. I just want to tell you that I love you and I adore you. So we did that last week. And then today we're going to talk about confession. That C part of the thing. Confession, folks. And so get ready. Buckle your seatbelts. We're going to get on to this one, the confession, because this is a difficult part when it comes to prayer. So as we look in your handout under the section confession, I apologize, your handouts are not numbered this time, at least this first batch. So when we talk about confession, our scripture reference is 1 John 1:9, and it says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And it's from a New Living Translation type. And the first comment on your lesson is confession is not just for our initial salvation. So that's the first thing we got to get over. Confession is not just for our initial salvation. You need to underline that, highlight it, however you do it. Confession is an ongoing process in our relationship with Christ. Confession is prayer that gets honest about sin. Wow, as I said, it's going to hit, we're coming right between your eyes, right, hitting you right between the eyes here. Confession is prayer that gets honest about sin. Getting right and staying clean before God is necessary to remain close to Him and to be effective in prayer. And this is a comment from our book, and I love that statement, and it's so, so truthful. You have to stay clean for your prayers to remain effective before God. Your prayers can be effective one day and ineffective the next due to your willingness to confess your sins. Wow, you have to get that. The scriptures make it clear, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person or righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. And this is from James 5:16. Please write that down in the caption on the corner. To read James 5:16. And this is, I believe, in the Amplified, or the New Living Translation as well. And that term, righteous person or righteous, as you look, if you look in the Greek of what that means, it's the Greek word diakou. I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly. It means holy and innocent. That's what righteous means. Holy and innocent. Oh my goodness. So boy, they had to add that innocent part there, you know, because, you know, we're holy because Jesus Christ, but this particular term, righteousness, means that you're holy and innocent. And that's what it means. The earnest prayers of a holy and innocent person has great power and produces wonderful results. And that's why confession has always got to be in your time with God. The next comment says, the book of James describes our current state of being. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Just James 3:2. You know, if he's just describing our current state, the human condition. You know, I love the Word of God, because this by far is our owner's manual, okay? This is the owner's manual for human beings, is the Word of God, because this describes our current state of being. And he's talking about, indeed, we all make many mistakes, he says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. And we could also control ourselves in every other way, but we know, oh, in this sinful world, we were born in sin, raised in sin. Even after Jesus came into our lives, we still had to continue being cleaned up. The scriptures talked about the weights that so easily beset us or hang on to us. Even after we come to Christ, we have weights on us. You know, that Jesus is constantly working to clean us up. The scripture says the work he began in you, he continues to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So folks, none of us arrive here. We never arrive to a place of perfection while we're still on this planet. It's not going to happen, okay? So we have to be ready and understand that we have to continually come before Christ for confession. James is writing to believers here when he's writing these words. And it goes on to say in your lesson, as we confess before Christ, we come closer to his perfection and control. So there is a process, a journey that we will continually be on while we're on earth. And we want to continue on that journey toward coming closer to his perfection and control. But if you refuse to confess or make excuses for your sin or become stagnant in your growth in Christ, oh, this is a danger. This is a dangerous state to be in, because some Christians, like, it doesn't take all that. I don't need to go any further. I've accepted Christ. I'm done. And I'm going to just sit here and I'm going to go through my rituals every week, you know, and I'm not going to go any further with him. And you can become stagnant. And, you know, a while back we talked about what happens to anything that's stagnant, anything. You know, you put a clear, distilled, clean glass of water and you sit it on a table and you walk away for a week and come back, I guarantee you something's growing in that water, because it was sitting there, it's uncovered, and I guarantee you something is growing in there. That's the same thing. I believe it's a lesson that God
put in nature so that we could see what happens when we become stagnant, when we won't confess their sins, when we won't grow up in him and we become stagnant. It's a dangerous place to be. The sin can continue to grow and dig its roots in deeper into your soul. And you don't want that. And that's how people leave Christ. That's how they backslide, if you will, is because they remain stagnant. The root of it, they won't confess. They won't confess. They've done wrong and they won't confess it. So we have to learn what it is to be open and confessing, to walk in humility. There we go again. We're back at that humility piece. We come back to it over and over and over again. And that was the cloak that Jesus wore on earth. He wore the cloak of humility, and he wanted us to imitate that. We have to be humble before God and man. You know, sometimes we don't have any problems being humble before God, but mankind, oh my goodness. You know, the ones that's pushing your buttons, man, you hate to be humble before them. You want to smack them. You don't want to be humble before them, you know. But the Lord is humble before them. If you look at 1 Peter 5:5, it reads this: "Likewise, you younger men of lesser rank and experience, be subject to your elders. Seek their counsel." It says that. And then it goes on to say this: And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Tie on the servant's apron. That's the Amplified. You know, the Amplified always get up in our grill, you know. So tie on the servant's apron, for God is opposed to the proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and he defeats them. See, I'm telling you, it's a dangerous place to be. But he gives grace to the humble. That means when you did mess up, when it was your fault, you did it. He will give grace to you when you humble yourself and you make the confession. It's better to be in that state where you're confessing that God's grace is upon you at that point than to be so proud you don't confess and God's hand is against you, ready to defeat you. You're in a dangerous place then when you're walking around all prideful and won't confess and won't give in to anything. Oh, you're in a dangerous spot because God is like, okay, I'm against you because I resist the proud. I'm not blessing proud people. You know, and this is, again, this is written to believers, folks. We always think, we read these scriptures, oh, those sinners that are so proud. No, I have news for you. This book was written to believers, proud believers. So you have to be careful in your relationship with God. And we're talking again, we're talking about prayer. How are you going to pray in this kind of state? So again, he gives grace to the humble. It's such a release when you confess. It's such a release. And then God will give you grace because you think if I confess, then they're going to come at me and I'm going to have to suffer some consequences. Yes, you may have to suffer some consequences, but God promises he will give you some grace in the situation. He will give you grace. The next one of your lessons says, confession frees you up for effective prayer. Amen. It frees you up for effective prayer. Satan will always try to keep you from confession. And you got to know you got an enemy of your soul. He is an enemy of your soul. Satan is not your friend. You know, I don't know how people get into witchcraft and Satanism. I'm like, he is not your friend. He hates you. Why would you serve him? Deliberately and willfully, Satan will always try to keep you from confession. He loves to keep people bound by guilt of their sins. And as I said, he plays both sides of the fence. He gets you and coaxes you to do the sin. And then on the other side, he condemns you for it and binds you up with guilt. Satan loves to give you arguments in your mind to justify your sin. Doesn't he? He gives you arguments in your mind to justify the person you just told off. Well, they needed to be told off. Somebody needed to tell them off. So I told them off, you know, and he'll justify it in your mind. You know, it's about time. Look at what they did. They, you know, all the things that he'll tell you what they did. and how you are justified in doing what you did. You know, but I have to remind you of what his word says. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. Oh, man. You mean I can't call him a name back? That's what that means. Uh-huh. They call you a name. You can't call that name back. Or you, whoop, there it is. You've messed up. You know, and it goes on to say, to this you have been called. You're in a calling, folks. You're in a calling. You're on assignment for him. And that means you have to take it. You know, don't look at world justice. Don't look at human justice. Look at godly justice. He will see it through. That's what you have to look at. So don't let Satan give you arguments to justify your sin. Your lesson says resist him and allow confession to flow free from your soul. The psalmist wrote, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And once you confess, that's Psalms 32, 1 and 2. And once you confess, your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, confess it soon. Don't let it linger. You know, because sometimes the enemy is just talking to you and the sin lingers. And I tell you, the longer it lingers or festers, it becomes worse and worse. And again, I believe God gives us so many object lessons in nature, you know, in your own body. You know, if you let some sore light open, you don't cover it, you don't treat it, you don't deal with it. Oh, you're headed for an infection. You're headed for an infection. And that's exactly what sin does. It, you know, you got the cut, you need to clean it up and cover it up right away. Take it to Jesus right away. If you leave it open and keep looking at it and picking at it, after a while, it's going to be pussy, full of all this poison and bacteria that seeds your bloodstream. That'll eventually seed your bloodstream and take out the entire body. Oh, I love those lessons. I believe God did it on purpose. When we look at the lessons in our own body, God does it on purpose so we will have a lesson in front of us at what sin does. Sin is a disease. Sin is a poison. And it's always messy. Don't think you can keep it contained in a compartment. Never. It's just like having an abscess in your body. And you know that thing. You can't keep that thing contained. It keeps growing and growing and growing. It spreads. And once it seeds the bloodstream, look out. Okay, either you're going to get antibiotics or you're going to leave here. You know, so that's what sin. I want to paint that vivid picture in your mind because that's what sin does. That's why I let it go right away. Yes, you had the argument, go right back and say, you know what? I'm sorry. You may not be feeling it. Okay. But God is not talking about your feelings. He's talking about obedience. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for what I said. Sorry for what I did. I didn't mean what I just said. You know, I said in the heat of the moment, please forgive me. They may or may not forgive you. So if they don't forgive you, then that's all right. You've gotten your sin covered. And now you can go on because immediately the blessings of God are back in your life. So don't let that thing fester and turn into something ugly. You know, people that have grudges, haven't spoken to each people in years because that thing festered and festered and it just caused a poison. Some families have poison just flowing through the veins of families because somebody could not forgive and somebody could not apologize. And it turned into a big mess and all the love and the life and the good times that were forfeited because something was not confessed. Something was not forgiven. Your lesson says, let your prayer banner be nothing between my soul and my Savior.
Amen.
I love that. I heard that from an old preacher a long time ago, and I never forgot it. He said, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Never allow sin to inhibit your access to God in prayer. And that's why I put this handout, I Need Thee Every Hour, out there. And I had to, boy, this song came to my spirit. I believe it's by unction of the Holy Spirit, the words of this song. Because you need God every hour. Don't think you don't need God. Don't think, well, I'm mad. And I'm not going to confess it. I'm going to hold my anger for the rest of the, I don't know. I'm just going to be, you know how some people, they're mad for days. Cold shoulder for days. But you need him every hour. You're going to need him in this hour. So you need to let it go this hour. And I just wanted to read the words of this song. It says, it's by D. Wagner and R. Lowry. It says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is in vain. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You guys know it. I'm telling you, that old song that they used to sing. I remember when back home, they used to sing it before every prayer meeting. That's what they would sing, this hymn, I need thee. Before the prayer meeting, this was the prayer meeting song. And I'm coming to realize just the power and how poignant this is. You need him every hour. So don't think you can pout for a couple of days and be okay. Because while you're pouting, the enemy is busy in your life. Because while you're pouting, he's planting all kind of seeds in your life, you know, because you are ineffective in prayer because you're pouting and he's busy planting seeds in your children and in your family and in your marriage and all these other things. He's planting seeds while you're sitting here pouting. Get over it. Be obedient. And I'm not saying you can change your feelings, but be obedient in that you come to him. And you confess, as he said, if you confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive it and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I'll tell you, if you confess it, I have found this to be true. If you confess it, he'll change those feelings right after it. If you do that, the Holy Spirit can come and do a work in you. But if you're keeping the Holy Spirit like this, because until you get over yourself and your madness, then you're giving the enemy opportunity to plant seed. It's like your front door is open. Your front door is open. And you're just letting the enemy come in and do whatever he wants. So again, folks, we need him every hour. And we want to keep that before us. The next point in your lesson says, God will always prompt you to deal with your sins first in prayer. So don't think you're going to circumvent the issue and go talk to Jesus and get something done. You're not gonna, first thing Jesus wanna deal with, let's deal with you. Cause I can see right into your heart. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with that first before, because we can't bring sin before the Father. You know, oh my goodness, he's holy, folks. There's no compromising that. He is holy. Your lesson says he does not expose sin in us to condemn us, but so that we can turn from it to him to be cleansed. And that's from the book again. And you know, and we got to get that. The scriptures teach us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that one well, but let's read the next one. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's John 3:16-17. He didn't come to condemn you. Even after you've messed up, yes, you did it, but he still didn't come to condemn you. He died to save you. So that's why he says, come. I'm not going to beat you over the head. I came to save you. We do not have to be afraid of confession before the Lord. Oh, because he did not come to condemn you, but to save you, let him save you. Let him save you. He can't force you to let him save you. It's your choice to let him save you. The next point says, our pride can hinder confession. We talked about humility, but let's get on the other side. Talk about our pride can hinder confession. We will always be tempted to rationalize sin, deny it, or just stubbornly cling to it. And again, that's from our book. This is a good book, Battle Plan for Prayer. Pride is a destroyer. Can I tell you now, folks, and this is not just because I read it in the Word. I lived it. I have lived it, and I'm telling you, pride is a destroyer. It is a destroyer. This spirit has taken down some of the greatest men and women that have ever walked the earth. Pride took them down. Pride took them down. They may try to blame everybody else, but it was their own pride that took them down from the place that they were. They were blessed, walking, they're doing great, but their pride got in the way. Or the spirit of pride approached them and they embraced it. They cling to it, stubbornly cling to it. It took down the greatest angel, Lucifer. It took down the greatest angel, Lucifer. It's important that you recognize it in yourself and then overcome it in Jesus' name. You got to recognize when that stuff is festering in you. And you know it. You know when it's there. You can feel it. You know it. And you want to cling to it. You don't want anybody else to know. You know, and you want to cling. And when you don't want anybody else to know, that's it right there. That's pride right there. I don't want people to know that. And you fill in that blank. That's the spirit of pride right there. And this is especially important to people who are leaders, who have any degree of power. If you are a parent, this is important because you are a leader if you're a parent. If you're a grandparent, you're a leader. And you need to recognize that. If you lead anything in any group of people, you need to recognize when pride is lifted up in you. The spirit of pride craves such people, loves to get the leaders because the leaders are more susceptible. They're up front. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting all the accolades and the attention and they're in charge. They're calling out orders. So Satan loves to get those because if I get those, man, I can take down a whole bunch of folks. Mm-hmm. I can take down everybody they're leading. Everybody they're over, I can take down if I can get the leader. Remember Lucifer? Mm-hmm. Took a third of the heavenly hosts because he was the greatest angel. They said after Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it was Lucifer was next in line. And he took a third of the angels with him. Wow. I'm telling you. So that spirit craves leadership. So people that are any type of leader, you need to be watchful of this because the damage that pride can do is multiplied because of your positioning. It's multiplied. Boy, and I don't want to get ahead because we're going to talk about pride versus humility. As the scripture has taught us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. James 4:10, as a leader, you don't have to lift yourself up. If God ordained you and put you in a position and a place, he will lift you up. You don't have to worry, I got to keep my composure. I got to keep this. I got to keep that. And the Holy Spirit says, humble yourself. You need to humble yourself. I think it's very powerful, even with parents, when you humble yourself with your children and let them know, you know, mom messed up. I'm sorry, daughter, I messed up. I'm sorry, son, I messed up. You're right. You know, it's very powerful. It really does something for your kids to see that. You don't have to be and walk in perfection before them. Walk holy before them and watch it make a change in their life. God lifts up, and many times that lifting comes after a season of humility. Let me say that again. God lifts up, but often that lifting comes after a season of humility. Oh, folks, you got to get this. And I encourage you, endure it. Endure it. and allow God to lift you up. If you're going through a season of humility right now, endure it. You know, you may have had losses. Things may have happened. People may be talking about you. There may have been an incident, a situation, whatever it is. If you're going through a season of humility, endure it. Because usually that lifting up comes after such a season, after you go through such things. You know, I've told you guys many times about my story, you know, and about, you know, what we went through, you know. I mean, I had so many things going on for me, you know. I mean, practicing medicine, and then my husband and I started a church and all of that. And, you know, we went through a horrible time in our marriage. We, you know, son with autism on top of everything else. And then I remember I went to a Christmas party, and this was near when everything was going to explode. I went to a Christmas party and was enjoying the party. And after the party, some friends said, "Can we talk to you?" And I sat down with them. And I was like, "Well, what's going on?" And they showed me the newspaper where our house was being auctioned off. And I didn't even know it. It was going to be auctioned off. This is a Christmas party, and it was going to be auctioned off December 28th. It was like December 18th or something, like 10 days. I'm like, and I mean, I was like, oh my, I had no idea. And it was just really one of those times where, you know, it was just like, God. And it was just a time of humility, a time where, you know, my stuff was in the paper, folks. I couldn't even hide. Sometimes, Mark, I couldn't hide anymore, okay? My stuff was in the paper, okay? So there's no hiding, there's no pretending, there's no putting on airs at this point. But that's where the Lord brought me to, you know, my family to, you know, humility, a season of humility, and just having to hold on to the Lord and hold on to the Lord and hold on to the Lord, and He brought us out. He brought us out, and after that season, He lifted us up, you know. And I thank God. I look back, I thank God, because it did a work in me. It's not always about the other people. Sometimes it's about what the work He brought to me. He brought down the spirit of pride in my life, in me, you know, to a place of humility, you know, just being able to see everybody differently, you know. You know, not looking at those people, you know, those divorced people, those people, you know, not anymore. I'm one of them today, you know, but it helped me to see so many things like, Lord, you know, how prideful I was, and how when God strips you of everything, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would have been homeless. If it wasn't for the grace of God, because God took us through that season and we didn't spend one day in the car, one day living in the car. He took us from one home to another home. People that came alongside. I told you, gave the testimony about my current house, how people, someone bought it for us. I mean, just out of the blue, someone I didn't even know. And how God will take you and He will bless you and He will keep you. So usually there is a season of humility, but endure, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. God can be trusted. He will lift you up. And the word of God is full of contrast between prideful people and humble people. Back to your lesson here. And as we talk about the prideful, we can look at Lucifer that we've already talked about. And the scriptures describe him this way. It says, and this is from Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. And it says, "How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cut down to the ground, O destroyer of nations. You have said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." That's what Lucifer said. I'm so beautiful. I'm so this. I'm so that. If you read the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel, boy, the Lord gave them a glimpse of what it was like before our time. And He talked about how jewels were made just to be encrusted in the body of Lucifer. He was so beautiful. You know, he have a list. I can't remember, I think it's in Ezekiel, the topaz, and they said in the onyx, and how God made all these stones just to encrust in his body because he was just such a beautiful angel. Lucifer means the bringer of light. He was a light bringer, but he got proud. Bringer of light.
Bringer
of light, like the name Lucille and Lewis. All those names come from light. But he got prideful. And this is what he said, I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. You know, you wonder how he could have gotten there when God did this for him. But isn't that something you've experienced, that you do things for people, and they get lifted up in pride? You know, it happens all the time. And this is what happened with him. Lucifer was the first to embrace pride in his heart. And we know the results. Jesus said, and this is Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And that was the result of his pride. So we are all today living through the magnitude of damage he brought to the whole earth as a leader. As a leader. He took the third, as I said, the Bible says he took a third of the heavenly hosts with him. And you see the magnitude of what had happened to planet Earth. Became a fallen creation. Tempted Eve, Adam and Eve in the garden. They fell. And all of humanity. The earth fell. You know, because the Bible says God subjected the earth. The earth was subjected to the fallen creation that was upon it. The fallen humanity. And that's why you see the things happen in the earth. And the Bible even talks about in Romans that the whole earth groans. The planet groans. Waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. The earth groans and waits for this to be over. Because you see all the things that are happening, even on the planet, the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the tidal waves, all of that came when the earth was subjected. All because this leader, Lucifer, embraced pride. Folks, you got to see the gravity of this. Of how, if you're leading, you got to understand the importance of confession and humility for the people, before the people you lead. Next example is Pharaoh of Egypt. And it says, Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, thus saith the Lord God of heaven, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. And this is Exodus 10:3. And you know the story. Pharaoh refused, he refused, he refused. And when all was said and done, his country laid in ruins, his army was drowned in the Red Sea. All these people affected because a leader would not confess and would not be humble before an almighty God. So this is the story, just two examples, there's many, but just two examples of the prideful and where they end up. And in deep contrast, we see the victory of the humble. And as we look at this, we look at Daniel, first of all. And it says here in Daniel, looking at his example, Daniel 10:12, it says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I love that. And I came, and I have come because of your words. From the first day you spoke it, Daniel, because God saw your heart, I was dispatched. This angel is talking to Daniel. I was dispatched the first day in which you spoke because you humbled yourself before God. God hears the humble immediately. But you may have to wait for the answers, as it was the example here. In this particular case, this angel was on his way, and he said the forces of darkness came up against him. And the angel, there was a spiritual battle going on against his angel. Read it. It's in Daniel 10. He talks about how he was fighting the prince of Persia. He was fighting the prince of Persia. He was fighting that principality or that demon or that was over the prince of Persia. He didn't want me to come down and give Daniel the answer God had for him. And so he fought me, and the angel went on to say, and then Michael was dispatched, the archangel. Michael came and helped me, and we defeated him. And here I am 21 days later after you prayed. Wow, that is so powerful, but it has a wonderful and an amazing message for us, because it says you may have to wait for answers as the forces of darkness, they must be and will be subdued, but God hears the first time you prayed. And in Daniel's case, it did take 21 days. So don't be discouraged. God heard you the first time. And often the forces of darkness have to be subdued. So you keep on praying. Don't stop praying. When that angel showed up, Daniel was praying. So don't stop praying. You know, I'm like, Lord, I see something happening. So maybe a few angels got through to start doing the work. But the fight goes on, folks. We are surrounded by the hordes of hell. You got to keep praying. He hears you. He's answering. But the enemy must be subdued. And again, folks, that's why nothing between my soul and my Savior, because I got to keep praying. There's too much hanging in the balance. My children are hanging in the balance, folks. I cannot stop praying. I can't let little petty thing get between me and God, because there's too much hanging in there. I got to keep praying. I want him to keep hearing me and hearing what I'm saying. So go ahead and read it in Daniel 10, 12, 13, and it talks about the prince of Persia, how he was detained. But it just gave me such a powerful word that God is hearing and he's answering, but you're fighting the hordes of hell. And that's why you see people changing, but it's happening gradually, because you're fighting something here. So keep praying. So stay in humility and stay in prayer. And sometimes the enemy is fighting you too. Okay? So we, with Daniel's case, they're talking about in the heavenlies, they were doing this fight, but the enemy's fighting you too. He's trying to get you to not pray anymore. He's trying to get you to be discouraged. He's trying to get you to turn on God. He's trying to get you to do all of these things. He's trying to get you to get angry and get upset and get frustrated. That's what he's trying to do on your end. So he can, God is answering and the work is happening, but it's not happening fast enough for us. You know, we want them, you know, we're praying for our loved ones. We want them to come running down to the altar and fall on the altar. May not happen that way. It may happen little by little, bit by bit, just having them talking about the Lord, asking questions on the sly. You know how they do, ask those little questions on the sly. So what do you think? You know, they already know what you think, but they want to know what God thinks, because you're a child of God. And again, that's God breaking through. God breaking through. Finally, we must speak of the humility of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus is our ultimate example of humility. Ultimate example of humility. And the scriptures tell us this: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Okay, we're going to park here for a minute. Okay? And just break down this scripture and all that it's telling us. First of all, you know, as we look at verse 6, it says, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, that's what we see every day. We see people, they get a position, they get some money, they get this, they get that, and they grasp onto it with their pride. And they, you know, but Jesus, the Son of the Living God, did not look at it that way. He did not grasp, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, because he was God. He is God. But he didn't flaunt it around. But he humbled himself. Satan wanted this power. See, this was the very power that Lucifer wanted. I want to be above the Most High. I want to be like the Most High. Jesus was already there. But he didn't grasp it. Jesus had this power, and he still humbled himself. This is why he is the greatest example of humility for mankind, because he is the one that was at the highest place that ever could be, and he still humbled himself. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Are you getting who we serve? And that's why I'm like, you know, folks, we got to get it. Because when we're walking around in pride, we say we serve him. Do you know who you're serving?
Mm-hmm.
He wears the cloak of humility. This is who we're serving. And so this is what we must be like. And as verse 7 says, but he emptied himself. He emptied, oh boy, and he took on the form of a servant. Not a king on earth, but a servant. That's what he made himself. And he humbled himself and became obedient. There it is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say he felt like it. It didn't say that. It says he obeyed his father. He was obedient. And that's what we have to do, because our feelings, do not let your feelings rule. Don't let your feelings rule. Become obedient to God. You can bring your feelings under subjection. I hear people say, I just can't. Yes, you can. You don't want to. And I'm sorry, I'm saying that without biting my tongue. And people say, you're so hard, you're so mean, you don't know. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And Jesus didn't excuse me. Oh, that's all right, Karen. Poor Karen, she just gone through all that hard stuff. And she got her son with autism. No. And he wasn't harsh about it. He stood his ground with it. I'll stay here with you until you finish crying. I'll be here with you as you cry. But when you dry your tears and it's all over, you still have to follow my word. You don't get a pass. Folks, we got to get that. Nobody gets a pass because of what you've been through. Because some people, yeah, you said it right there, sister. Take up your cross, she said, and follow me. Don't ever think, don't let the enemy convince you that you get a pass because of what you've been through and what you go through and what you live with. We got to get over that. What you have to deal with, how society treats you. You know, everybody, and women, we got to get over being women. Oh, we're so oppressed. So that means we have a right to do this. And no, you don't. God made us women, and he made us beautiful. He made us amazing. We carry new life in our bodies and bring it forth in the world. How amazing is that? You got to appreciate what he did in you. The enemy wants you to think, oh, you're so oppressed, therefore reject what you are. No, it's a lie. He'll take care. So we don't get a pass, folks. That's one thing. Jesus did it all. So we humble ourselves. And he became obedient. And that's what we have to do. Put your feelings aside and become obedient. As I have said before, whatever inspires you will control you. If your feelings inspire you, your feelings will control you. But if the Holy Spirit inspires you, the Holy Spirit will control you.
Yes.
It's your choice. And then it says, therefore God exalted him. So So after all of that, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. After all that he did, he said, therefore. And God gave him a name that is above every name. Nobody on earth is going to bypass Jesus to get to the Father. It's above every name. Don't think you're just going to bypass him. No. God gave him, exalted him to a place where you have to go through him. And that's why salvation has to be what it is. That's why there are not many ways to heaven, folks. There's one way. Through the Son of God, who God exalted and gave him a name that is above every name. You got to call his name if you're going to get to heaven, if you're going to get to God. There's no compromising that. And then it goes on to say, every knee should bow in heaven, will bow in heaven and on earth. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The day is coming. Believer and unbeliever alike, they will bow and they will confess that he is Lord. You just want to be on the right timing when this happens. You don't want to be after he comes again. You want to be doing this now. So you're on the right side of this thing. You don't want to be the ones that are sitting there condemned. And now you're gonna still have to bow, but you did it too late. I remember this song that they used to sing back home, you know, one day too late. You finally came to call his name, but one day too late. Wow, it's a really powerful song. They did a play on the rapture and somebody was singing that song, one day too late. You finally came to call his name, but one day too late. You don't want to be like that. You want to call his name now. As I said, you want to be into confession. Be easy. Be quick to confess. You don't want to be stagnant. You don't want to get into a dangerous zone with your salvation, letting all this stuff fester and build up. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This life is, everything about this life is passing away. So don't let the situations of this life keep you from eternity. It's not even logical. Why? I'm like, I'm going to let it go. Yeah, have it. Take it. You can have it. Okay. Yeah, you can be first. Go ahead. Nothing between. No, I can't interrupt this. And if I do that, it'll interrupt. So go ahead and have it. I'm fine. You're good. That's the mindset we have to do. As he said, that the same mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And it goes through all of that humility piece. It's all about humility. And confession is at the heart of it. Confessing. Admitting it. Because of his humility, in contrast to what Lucifer did when he contaminated an entire world, in deep contrast, because of his humility, a world could be saved. Because of his humility, his name had the greatest power on earth. Because of his humility, every knee on earth will bow to him. Because of humility. So folks, he is our example. And at the heart of confession, that's what we have. Confess it. Let it go. It's not even worth it. It is not worth it. People have been angry for years. Call them up. I says, listen, I don't even remember what happened. Some of you don't even remember what happened. But whatever it is, forgive me. You know? And don't even rehash it. Because sometimes people want to rehash it, you know? Don't say a word. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, don't, because the enemy's trying to get you to go around in a loop again and get angry again. But just let it go. Just, would you forgive me? It's the easiest words. I love that word, forgiveness. Because to let it go. Any comments or questions for anybody? You guys are looking at me all dazed.
It's an amazing topic that we're talking about right now.
Yeah. Humble has to grow.
Yes.
It's a continued growth.
It is a continued growth.
You don't get humble overnight.
No, you don't.
It's through many tears and many failures.
Yes.
The Lord knows how to get to you.
The Lord knows how
but
to get to you.
It's worth it. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's tears. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
But you look back and you go, I don't want to go out again, but I wouldn't give up for what you've done.
Yeah. And when you go ahead.
Being changed from the inside out.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not a phony anymore.
Yes. Yes.
And that is so relieving that when people accuse you of something, you go, well, maybe before, but not now.
Not now.
Shut your mouth. Don't say a word. Mm-hmm. Walk away.
Yeah, so many times the Holy Spirit says, be quiet.
Yes, walk away.
Don't walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that happened to me yesterday. I had to walk away.
You had to walk away, yes.
Yeah, I had to walk
and
away.
And it may happen tomorrow, Virginia, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, it may happen tomorrow. You know, and especially, and you got to know your temperament. Mm-hmm. You know, those of you that are hot-headed, fly off the handle, you know who you are. Got that choleric, powerful temperament. Oh, you especially. You got to be, you know, as I said, I'm one of you. That's why I'm talking. Lord stripped me of everything. My stuff needed to be in the paper, okay? It needed to be. That's what it took from me, okay? Yeah, that's what it took for me. It needed to be there.
We can laugh about it now.
I can laugh because of what he's done. You know, I could never tell. I mean, I was back then, I would never tell. If I ever come out of this, I will never tell anybody this story. But here I am telling it.
And you're right.
Yeah. And free. Free, so free to tell it. Yes, it happened. Yes, that was me in the paper. That was me. Yes, but look at what God has done. Oh my God, yeah. He lifted the shame. He lifted the embarrassment. He turned it around into a testimony. As the scripture has said, what Satan means for evil, God turns it into good. And I don't know, maybe somebody in this room needed to hear that. Needed to hear that word, that God, he will lift you up. Just hang on to him, hold on to him. I know the ride is bumpy, but hold on. I'm seeing in my mind, you know how when the astronauts are blasting off and they show this, and they're sitting on all that rocket and all that flame and fire is in that rocket, and you can see them, they have pictures of them, and they're just shaking. But they're going to the moon. That's what it feels like sometimes. I'm just shaking, God. I got a bunch of fire behind me, God. But I know you're going to take me to the moon.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else?
I was just saying, being a leader and to make sure to humble yourself before God and not to be prideful on what your teaching is.
Yes.
You're right, because we're doing married couples.
Yes.
And some people say, well, I already heard that and stuff like that, and but we always need to go back to basic all the time, but we always should tell them that. But you have to make sure you humble yourself and you have to be accountable to God too. You gotta be accountable to God for what you say to them.
Amen.
And I'm learning that a lot.
Amen. Absolutely. And none of us knows it all. We're in this together, guys. We're in this
even
together.
Driving. I test people when I drive. Like if I'm gonna get to the other lane, I'll put my blinker and speed up. Mm-hmm. That's how I get them to go ahead of me, right? And then sometimes she's in traffic, and I know somebody, I'll slow down and let them pass. Mm-hmm. And what that does for me is peace.
Yeah.
It's like I'm in a hurry too.
Wow.
You know what? And God gave me that because I was a mad woman on the road. I run you over.
So it was you. No.
I run you over. Oh, was you. But he works at me. Let them go.
Yeah.
So,
this
was the reward.
Yeah. That. Absolutely. And that's the way you just described forgiveness. Let them go. Let it go. Let them go past. It's just a beautiful example of forgiveness. And then you feel the peace. Yes. Amen. Anybody else? Let me pray. All good. Oh, praise God. Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Ghost, Lord. We thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to help us and to move in us and to live in us, Lord God. Oh, Father, we pray right now, Lord, that we would operate in a spirit of confession, Lord God. Oh, Father, we declare our declaration is nothing between my soul and my Savior, Lord God. I pray that you would let us see that nothing is worth it to get in between us and you, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help us to see it. Help us to confess it quickly. Help us to forgive quickly. Help us to let it go quickly, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray that your Holy Ghost would move in us, Lord God, that we would see the priorities of eternity, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we don't want to live in what is temporal and what is a situational. Lord, let us live in eternity. Let us live. Even now on earth, we are living in the eternal. We are looking toward the eternal, Lord God. So, Lord, I pray that we would keep our hearts clean, that we would keep, oh, Lord, the lines of communication open, Lord God. Father, I pray you would encourage those that are praying right now, Lord. We are all praying, Lord God. And I pray hearts would be encouraged. Let them know that the answer is on the way. That, Lord, as they humble themselves before you, you are answering. You are dispatching angels to do warfare on behalf of your people. You're dispatching ministering angels, oh, Lord, to help and to minister in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we rebuke the devil. We rebuke the devourer. Oh, Lord, we rebuke all the spirits of wickedness in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come against witchcraft, Lord God. We come against witches and warlocks that have tried to plague your people, Lord God. I pray right now that we will stand in the authority that is ours in Jesus Christ, Lord God. And Father, like Daniel, we wait. We wait. We wait for the answer, Lord. We wait at your feet. We wait believing and trusting. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. And, Lord, as always, we expect you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.